We've suggested that there are a number of ways that you can help. One is to pray, the other is to give, and in time it will be probably appropriate for you to go. Some of you will go to Haiti and help, and we pray that the church will rise up during these days and be the church. How the church, how Christians respond to crisis and difficulty is what sets us apart. It's why we understand the principles that Walt referred to this morning. We want to live our lives by the principles of the Word of God, and we're going to turn this morning to the Scriptures again and be guided in our marriage because of marriage principles in a remodel. Last week we talked about the unique purpose of marriage, the blueprint of marriage, the blueprint that God intended and the power that's needed in order to accomplish it. We're going to review that a little bit this morning and hopefully be on our way at remodeling and re-strengthening and, if necessary, refurbishing our marriages so that we can live according to the principles of God and His Word. So you can see this morning that even if you look at the backdrop here, it's changed from last week. It doesn't necessarily look better yet, does it? Because sometimes when you do a remodel, you have to pull things apart and dig around in it and get to the foundation of it before you can make it better. And that's where we're at this morning, kind of pulling around, getting down to the root and the core and the basics of the structure before we put the remodel on. Some of you have done remodeling at your house. It's fun, isn't it? I tell you, Lucy and I were thinking about doing a little remodeling project at our house earlier this year, and it was going to be simple, and we were just going to put some hardwood floors in where the 15-year-old carpet is, and of course, as you started to think about doing the hardwood floor, then you had to do the entryway, and if you had to redo the entryway, then that hardwood floor goes over to the fireplace. And the fireplace didn't look quite good because the mantle looks old. And if you redo the floor, then you have to redo the mantle. And then the tiling near the fireplace had to be redone too. And if you do all the hardwood, then you have to take all the baseboard off around. And you have to redo all that. So we decided not to do anything. It's not untrue. It's on hold. It got too complex for right now. Maybe later. But sometimes if you want to get to the bottom of, you know, remodeling something, you have to dig it apart a little bit. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to dig around a little bit. But let's review a couple of our ground rules. First, let's start with the blueprint that we finished with last week. It comes from our text, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the blueprint, essentially, for marriage. It is repeated in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament by Jesus and Paul here in Ephesians, and it is what establishes the foundation for marriage, leaving, being united to, and becoming one. Friday night here in this room, I conducted a wedding ceremony for two young people. It was great. And, of course, we quoted this. You're leaving, you're starting your life together, and you're going to become one. It is the blueprint. It's what every marriage aspires to. But in order for this to happen, we said it's more than a sense of compatibility, right? It's more than just being compatible, as helpful as that is. The blueprint says that there is a foundational commitment, a covenant commitment, that holds marriage together more than even compatibility. And for that to happen through all the ups and downs of marriage, you need a supernatural power. And for us in our text, that came from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And there we read that you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, but you'll be filled with the Spirit. In the same context of marriage, here is this supernatural enabling to live as a husband and to live as a wife. It's by being under the influence or under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning, I want to remind you, and I know you believe this, that when you are under the influence of the Spirit, you're better able to fulfill your role as a husband, right? When you're under the influence of the Spirit of God and you're under His control, you're yielding your life to Him, you are better able, you are able to live as a spiritual woman, as a godly woman, able to fulfill your role as a wife, right? This is key to the power of being this kind of husband and wife. Now, we're about to talk about those roles. Let me give you one more key verse that comes right after verse 18, verse 21. Ephesians 5:21 says, can we have that verse? And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. This is Paul's way of talking about one of the manifestations of being under the influence of the Spirit is you'll be subject to one another. You'll have a spirit of submission that is a mutual submission to one another. It's one of the marks that you're under the influence of Christ and His Spirit is that you defer to each other. You don't have to have your way all the time. You are mutually submissive to one another. And in particular, then, the next verse talks about husbands and wives. In particular, the next verse, verse 22 of Ephesians 5, refers to wives. And we're going to talk this morning about the roles of the wife and the role of the husband. And these are related to the blueprint and the divine design that God has for us. Now, this is a great place to stop again and say, what was one of our ground rules as we began last week? Okay? Most people remember it. This is an elbow-free zone. Okay? No elbows. Now we're going to listen. We're going to say, okay, we want the Spirit of God and His principles to come to us and to open our minds to what God says. And I want to encourage you as we begin that when Paul talks about giving principles for a wife and principles for a husband, it is for, ultimately, your happiness in the will of God. You believe that? It's for God's plan that you would be this kind of a woman and this kind of a husband. And when you each fulfill that role, when I understand my design in this way, then I understand how God wired me and why God intends marriage to be great. The glory of marriage. Now, I know I'm going upstream here. Because in most people's minds, there isn't a lot of glory associated with marriage. Many people think it's drudgery. And as soon as I begin to read these verses, for some of you in the room, the hair is going to go up on the back of your neck. And we get nervous if we read these words. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Does that make anybody nervous? It makes us nervous in some respects because of the abuses that have happened with the teaching of this text. But let's let the Scripture speak for itself. Let's let them come to us and let them land in our soul. We say, okay, what does God say to a wife? So let's begin reading. Verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Now, I hope that you will hear these words and you'll say, okay, what does God mean then that I would be subject to my husband? You're a wife here. You say, well, I want to be happy in marriage. Why does God say to me, be subject to your husband? Well, it's here in the text. It's here in the text, verse 23, where Paul says, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. In God's design for marriage, he gave to the husband the responsibility of being the head of the wife and the head of, in a sense, the family, in the same way that Christ is the head of the church. In order for the husband to fulfill his role as head of the wife and head of the family, the wife must respond to her husband in this way. I respect you and I submit to your leadership. When the wife is able to do that to her husband, to be subject, to defer and respect her husband in this way, it allows, in a wonderful way, the husband to fulfill his role as God intended. So watch what happens. God has a role for the husband that he would be a spiritual leader. It is the wife's response to her husband in this way. You see it in verse 33. See to it that the wife respect her husband. As she respects her husband, he is able to fulfill what God asks him to do. So, wives, I want you to see this. That your response to your husband in this way is what enables him to flourish in the role that God asks him to fulfill. Does that make sense? Okay, it's quiet in here. Does it make sense? Okay. Okay, we've thrown it off in culture. We don't want this. We want equality. Is there equality between husband and wife? Absolutely. Equality of essence, right? Difference in function. I think what you see happen here is Paul illustrates Christ being subject to even the church. By the phrase, he has become the Savior of the church. See that? He's the Savior of the body. When did Christ become the Savior of the body? When he went to the cross and submitted himself all the way to death. And Christ demonstrated a submission to his Father and even in a sense to the church by which he submitted himself to death on our behalf. We'll see that in a moment. Okay, Old Testament. God comes to Adam and says to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make you a helper that will be suitable for you. And this helper will be from you. It will be taken from your side. She will be the woman. And she will be your helper. She will be an equal to you. She will be right next to you to be your helper. And she will help you accomplish and fulfill what God asks of you. That's the sense of helper. You can look at Proverbs chapter 31 and you see this beautiful description of the woman of virtue all the way through this wonderful chapter, Proverbs 31. She is a woman who's industrious, who's capable, she's competent, she's able to provide, she cares for her family, she's not fearful of any circumstances of life. It says of her that her husband sits at the gate and the people know that he is her husband. Why? Because she has elevated him. Her role in his life has helped him to be leader. I see that there. Let's look at one other passage in which this word submission is described a bit more in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. Now I know some of you are feeling nervous, but listen, watch 1 Peter 3 and watch the way this concept is described for us in 1 Peter 3. In the same way, you wives... That is, in the same way as in other circumstances of life, all Christians must demonstrate a spirit of submission. In the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. There's a word. A wife to her own husband. Not to all men, but to her own husband. Why? So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be external, braiding the hair, wearing jewelry, putting on dresses. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. If you've become children, if you do what is right, without being frightened of any fear. I see a description of women in this category, in this statement, women who are fearless, courageous, full of hope in the Lord, who are full of faith, and who are able to live with their husbands in a way that they honor them, they respect them, and if possible, they change their minds. Women change the minds of their husbands. I want you to see this, that Peter is arguing not that a woman would be obedient to her husband, not misused by her husband, but be respectful of her husband, and if possible, to change his mind, to persuade him. So I read from this idea of submission several things. First of all, it has nothing to do particularly with agreeing with your husband on everything. That would have been a good place to say amen. All right? It doesn't mean necessarily that you agree with everything, right? It means that you respect him in everything. It doesn't mean that you necessarily let him make all the decisions and check your mind at the door. It means that you're a partnership and you mutually respect each other. It doesn't mean living in fear of your husband. It does mean at times that you will live with your husband in a way hoping to change his mind about things. And that's the nature of a relationship that's moving toward oneness. Submission is more an attitude of the heart in a wife which fosters in her husband the flourishing of him as a man and as a leader that God intends him to be. And so what's important to Peter is the character of the woman's heart, her fearlessness, her faith in God and her hope in God. You see that, right? So how does this work together in the pursuit of a oneness in which the two become one? Well, a wife lives with her husband with this in mind. I'm here to help you flourish, to be the man that God intends you to be. Is that constraining? I'd say that's liberating. Now, it's complementary. So in a moment, we're going to see the role of the husband. But think of it this way. That when you dreamt of being married in a way that you would flourish and your life would become wonderful, your role in helping that be the case for your husband, wives, is that you would respect him in a way that he would flourish to become the man God intends him to be. You see that, right? So what is the other side of the coin? The role of husbands is in verse 25. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What's the role of the husband? Well, the role of the husband is to love as Christ loved the church. How did that happen? What did Christ do to demonstrate his love for the church? He died. He gave himself for the church. So let's read here, verse 26. That he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. That holy and blameless is a reference to the church. And so here's the illustration. Husbands, you are to love your wife in the same manner that Christ loved the church. And this is the way he loved the church. He gave his life for the church in order that the church would become his bride without spot or wrinkle, blameless and holy. The work of Christ giving his life helped the church become all that God intends the church to be. The illustration then is this, that a husband loves his wife in this sacrificial kind of way that he would give up his life, give up his desires, set aside his longings for his selfish needs in order to selflessly meet the needs of his wife, that she would flourish and become all that God wants her to be. See that? Now, the words holy and blameless is a reference to the church, and that's not the work of the husband to make his wife blameless. That's the illustration. Husbands, verse 28, love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. So you see, this is a very complementary response. The role of the wife, the role of the husband has the other in mind, that they might become all that God intended. And when both the husband and the wife come together like this, it's that I give of myself to help you become just what God wants you to be. There's a great book called Love and Respect. Dr. Emerson Eggerich speaks about a crazy cycle that husbands and wives get into. It's a crazy cycle in which husbands don't get respect, so they refuse to love. Or wives don't feel loved by their husbands, so they refuse to respect. We want to listen to God's word this morning and say, what are the principles that I have to listen to as a wife? What are the principles that I have to listen to as a husband that I would provide for my wife just what she needs, just what he needs? The roles that a husband and wife are asked to fulfill by God are designed by him to make marriage great and to bring the partner to fullness. This is what God wants me to be a leader, so I experience respect and honor and submission from my wife, that I can become what God wants me to become. And God wants my wife to flourish, not to be held under, not to be suppressed, but to be the woman who can do all that God wants her to be, and my sacrificial love helps her flourish. It's very complimentary, and it's very beautiful. It's what restores the glory of marriage. It breaks down when we each want our own and won't give in first. We climb up on our mountain and say, I'll give you what God wants me to give you when you give me what God wants you to give me. And who's going to go first? In a remodel that some of us may need this morning, we may need to ask ourselves, could I really begin to love my wife in a sacrificial way if I don't feel respected by her? You know what I hear God saying to you? You can do this, and I can help. How about the wife? How can I love my husband? I don't respect him. He doesn't put me first. He doesn't think about me. It's very hard for me to respect him. And I hear God saying to you, you can do this, and I can help. I'm Home Depot. I can help you in this. I can help you in this. Let me give you a couple suggestions for you this morning. I think this would be a good time for every couple in our church to take a little time out. And sometime in the next week, ask the hard questions. Do you feel, honey, like I respect you? Do you feel like I love you in a sacrificial way? That's a tough question. But that'll help your marriage get to another level, won't it? What are we after? The two shall become one flesh. They shall get to a level of intimacy. And some of you have settled, some of us in the room perhaps, have settled for a level of marriage that never was God's plan. And the way to get to a different level may be this week to come home and say, you know what, I want to think seriously about what God said about my role as a husband. And if he asks me to love you in a sacrificial way that you will flourish in your life and become all that God wants you to become, how am I doing? Could you just gently tell me what I need to know? And be gentle in response. And let that go both ways. I've talked to a lot of couples over the years who've come to me at the end. And they say, well, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her. I heard some great advice. I want to give it to you because I know in our church probably today here in the gathering, there would be some that would say right now, I know I'm committed to my marriage, but I'm not happy. I know we're going to stick together, but this is not what I'd hoped marriage would be. I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her anymore. Here's your assignment. Answer this question. I want you to name three things you would do for her if you did love her. If you did love her the way you once did, name three things you would do for her. Ladies, I just don't love him anymore. What are three things you would do for him if you did love him the way you once did? And then pick one of them. Don't tell him. Just pick one of them. And do it every day for the next 3 weeks. And then send me an email. Because I'm convinced to get loving feelings, you need to sometimes do loving things. Your feelings may follow what you choose to do. But don't say, I don't. Say, I can. And listen to God say to you, you can do this and I can help. Do it. Pick one and do it for the next 3 weeks and then let me know. Or let her know. Or she'll let you know. And lastly, maybe what you would choose to do this morning, if your marriage needs a little remodel, is that you just begin to pray together. Pray together. I mean, pray together just before you go to bed and just say, Lord, will you help us? You can pray together every night or every day, and it doesn't have to be long and complicated and hard. You can simply go to bed saying, if you've never prayed together, just do this. God, will you help our marriage get better? Amen. Maybe that's the first prayer for the first night if you're going to start praying together. And God's going to give you things to pray for, believe me. You start praying together, God will give you things to pray for. God, help me to be this kind of husband. Forgive me for the ways I've failed. And maybe that's what has to happen in your marriage this morning, is just to say, will you forgive me for the way I fail? The role that God asks you to play as a husband is for your wife to flourish. The role that God asks you to play as a wife, for you to fulfill as a wife toward your husband, is that he will flourish as God's leader. And you can do it. And God can help. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you will strengthen us in our life and in our marriage to be the kind of men and women who listen to the word of God and submit to your spirit, and are the kind of men and women who are under the influence of the Spirit of God in our life, so that we can love as Christ loved. We can submit to one another as Christ submitted to you, O Father, and submitted himself even to the point of death for us. And I pray, O God, that you will, all over this room and throughout our church community, strengthen the marriages, strengthen families, give men and women a spirit of humility to sacrifice for each other, to respect and love and defer, to foster a flourishing in the other's life. God, I pray that you'll do this for your honor and glory and for our good. I pray that you will remodel our lives after Christ and give us a vision for our lives that's not simply settling for something, but aspiring for a deeper level of intimacy that comes by walking with you and loving as you love. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen.